We are excited to have all of you here tonight. That somehow part of your Christmas celebration, you made a chance to kind of spend some time together here. As we do that, though, I just want to be honest with you that as a group of believers, a beautiful Savior, we love to think about Jesus, but we never want to stop there, and we are endlessly committed to doing things with Jesus too. Which means that a lot of our sermons and messages tend to have some places for engagement and participation, as it will tonight. So let me just kind of give you a heads up on that if that's new or fresh for you. No one will be injured in this. No one will be embarrassed in this. There's no possible way you could fail at all. It will actually be a little bit of fun, and you will learn something about some people sitting around you. All right, so with that, we have a couple different scientific experiments that we want to take care of tonight, okay? At least two. So what I'm going to need to do are to have groups of 5 to 8 kind of gather in. You're going to need to be able to standing up, so gather in the aisles somewhere. So if you're not able to move or too far in the middle, that's okay. But everyone else, if you can find a group of 5 or 8 and kind of just stand up together, then I'll know that we're ready to move on to the next stage. So find some space in the aisles. Groups of 5 or 8, could do 4-ish, maybe up to 9, but then you're going to have a couple people standing on the side. So gather your group together, a group of 5 or 8. There's plenty of space down front if you want to come down front a little bit more. All right. You will need to have, I got to get louder here because you're talking a little bit. All right, you'll need to have your bulletins with you, so maybe make sure you have those as well too. Sorry, I should have given you that ahead of time. All right. Now, in your group, I need you to choose 2 people who will be the speakers, okay? They have to be at least a teenager. Everybody can be a part of a group. I'll explain why later. Have to be at least a teenager. I need 2 people who are willing to speak to each other for 20 seconds on the topic of holiday movies. Okay, so within your group, 2 people, 20 seconds talking together on holiday movies. Right, so I need hands up if you're going to be a speaker for your group. 2 in every group. All right. So now, I will tell you when the 20 seconds are over, and all I need you to do is just say whatever you want to about holiday movies. Go. All right, freeze. Freeze. Stop. Stop talking and don't move. Okay, now if you are not one of the speakers, I need you to open up your little worship folder that you have with you. Conveniently provided at the bottom of that is a ruler, almost. 8.5 by 11, right? I couldn't get 12 inches on there, but I got 11.5. So what I need you to do is to go from either chest to chest or shoulder to shoulder between the 2 people speaking and just measure out for me the distance they are apart from each other. Right, that's why you need a couple. You can stick all your bulletins together. However many inches it is, shoulder to shoulder, chest to chest, whatever it is, you cannot move if you're a speaker. Stay still and find what that distance is. Did you measure? All right. I didn't think measurement took this much talking, but apparently it does. All right, now raise your hand again if you are one of the speakers. Okay, now this is experiment number 2. I need one of the speakers from your group to go to a different group, and then they'll switch a speaker with you. No one will be harmed. It will be okay. If you're a speaker, find another group. It'll be okay. Merry Christmas. Everybody loves you. Peace on earth. All right, so we have 2 speakers in each group, presumably. You will have 20 seconds to talk about holiday treats. Yum, yum. And go. Holiday treats. And freeze. No more talking, no movement among speakers. Go ahead and measure out the distance again, chest to chest, shoulder to shoulder, between the two speakers. How far apart are they? Somebody should be writing these numbers down. We'll use them in just a moment. Once you've got your second number and you remember your first number, you can go back to your seats. Say thank you to your speakers. Thank you to your measurers. Well done. I'm impressed. All of you guys dove in great. Welcome to the world of proxemics. I know you came here for Jesus, but we're going to pick up on this communication theory, which is all about personal space, right? So we had some different numbers there. So on experiment number one, can I just hear a couple shouts out? We'll try to go a little bit one at a time-ish. What numbers did we have the first time around? How far apart were we? Okay, we'll have to... Three feet? Okay, not 3 inches. That'd be a little weird. 5 feet? Was that 5 feet? 14 inches? 17? 6 inches? 30 inches? 11 inches? Okay. And now let's see on experiment number two, what did we have? We'll start on this end. A couple voices over here. 16 inches? 19? 20? Oh, we're getting farther. 18, 30, 24, 5 inches. Sweet. All right. So this is how the theory works. And in large part, this does kind of play out. It's a little bit weird in this setting, but you can play with this and have tons of fun. It really is a blast. So there's these different ranges where we have personal space around us. And based on how well we have intimacy or relationship with people, we have different spaces that allow that. So the biggest space is the public space, which is what we're in right now. And that's about 12 to 25 feet. If you're in the back row, it doesn't matter to you at all whatsoever. If you're in the front row, then that's about how far away I am. Right, we don't have a deep personal relationship, so this feels kind of normal. We still rarely fill the front pew because people still want a little bit of extra space in there. But go ahead and see how it feels when you begin to break that down a little bit and you begin to do public speaking from a space that isn't so far away. How are you guys feeling right now? Yeah, not quite so much. I can look at his face. Like, please step back away from me. I will stop invading your space. And move back away. But you know how weird that is, right? We're used to this setting, and this is okay, and that's definitively not. Right? You can be polite in the middle of it, but you don't want that to stay that way or want that to go on. That's a public space. You move beyond that, and you break things down a little bit more into a social space. This is about 4 to 12 feet away from each other. So this is when you're talking to maybe people you know at work or other kids at school, maybe coworkers somewhere. You have a little bit of a relationship. Maybe it's a total stranger, but you're meeting at a business meeting or you have something in common, right? They're watching their kids at sports. You're watching your kids at sports. That's about the range that you have, what's comfortable between you. So for some of you, if you had someone who was a stranger coming into your second group, that's probably about where it might naturally be. We're a little bit restricted here because of space, and a little bit restricted here because the volume of the talking was a little bit louder, which forces you closer together. But without those things, chances are you'd end up somewhere in that range with someone you didn't really have any relationship with, but were asked to have some kind of conversation more on a one-on-one basis, right? Move beyond that social range that we have, we get into the personal range. And this is the range where you have a close friend or a family member. So chances are, unless you're a pretty adventuresome person, the first group that you're in, you probably tried to mostly gather people you knew around you. Right? I don't know how scary this is going to be. I want some friends that I know, right? Where's my family? And if there were two family members talking, you probably had a closer number, right? So maybe 1.5 to 4 feet. And that was a lot of the numbers we had the first time. We're kind of in that range. This was about how far we were that felt comfortable for people that kind of know each other a little bit. You can try this out and have a blast over the holiday season too, right? And see how close relationships are across the board, and when uncle whoever comes in or aunt whoever that you barely know, how there's a bigger distance and closer distance. There's one final level, which is the intimate level, which is less than 1.5. So this is the space that's reserved for where you have the deepest, most trusting relationships. And you can try that out. Go ahead and invade someone's space up shorter than 1.5 feet, and it begins to freak them out in really weird ways. It's a blast. You get on an elevator with somebody, just go ahead and stand less than 1 foot away from them and just watch it. Like, that, you know, it's just uncomfortable, right? So there's a variety of these things. As infants, we start off with zero personal space whatsoever. I mean, infants, so Edward doesn't have any. He doesn't have a sense of that. We develop that as we grow. And I said you had to be at least a teenager because it doesn't get set for us until we're in our teenage years. And then we all have kind of our own sense of that we carry around. And it varies. That's why those numbers have a range in them. Some of us are much more comfortable with a closer personal space. Some have a much broader one. Some of that is just personality. We'll get to that in a moment, Marie. Some of that is culture. Europeans tend to be a lot closer than that. Some of that is gender-based. Women tend to have a smaller personal space around them. Men tend to want a bigger one. And that can have some fun things to play with on those things, too. So we all have that. We understand that, right? We know based on how we work on that. And it covers so many areas of life. It's absolutely fascinating, right? Men, we have this unwritten rule when we go into a restroom. Right, and women, you don't even have these things. We have these things. You have all the stalls. We have the urinals on the wall, right? And you know that when there's open urinals all the way, you cannot go right next to somebody. Right? We, as men, we understand the rule, right? Because then someone is calling 911 because that doesn't happen, right? That's my personal space. If there's a big enough crowd, I'll let it happen, but my eyes are straight ahead and I'm not going anywhere else. But when there's space, you better use it. Because you're not personal enough with me to get that close in that environment. So all around us, we use these moments and we have this place of personal space. So then you can go back to the next picture, Marie. You see Kobe kind of reacting a little bit to the personal space invasion from Ron Artest in that moment. So go ahead and think through it. Maybe just talk to some people around you. If someone does invade your personal space, what's a response that you could have? Talk to each other just really quick. Just give an answer to someone else. What would you do if someone invaded your personal space? All right. So let's grab a couple answers. We'll start again over here. Some ideas. What do we do when someone's in our personal space? I can't hear. Huh? Back up. We use our voice to communicate that it's inappropriate. Yeah. Any other ideas? We remind them? Yeah. Yeah. What are some other ideas? What might we do if someone's in our personal space? Yeah. We would back up, which again is a fun party trick when you're talking to someone, just to slowly kind of lean in more toward them until they back up, or slowly kind of back away a little bit until they take a step towards you. It's amazing how much you can play with those things. But yeah, you could back up yourself. Which is that's exactly what Kobe's doing. He's like, I'm stepping back here, right? And his hand motion is saying, this is inappropriate. This is too close to where I need to be. Any other ideas, right? You could haul off and slug him, right? It may not be highly recommended as an option, but it is possible, right? I mean, if someone's aggressive enough or whatever, then we might respond in a more physical way. Maybe not slugging, but at least putting a hand out. Using that space, which is enough to get you out of the intimate level and back out of the other space, like, hey, you can't come closer than this. Back off for whatever reason, right? We have our list of things to do. So there's a range of Christmas stories. This time we picked the wise men's story. But as we look at that broader one that Matthew gives us, really all of the Christmas stories are stories of proxemics. Right, here is this God who comes first of all to Mary, right? That's where it starts. And he comes into her life and doesn't stop at the social level or the personal level, you know, or the intimate level, right? With Mary, honestly, it goes beyond all that stuff because pregnancy is the hands down most intimate. Like, there's no personal space there, right? For 9 months, it's a negative personal space because that baby's inside of you. You cannot get away. You cannot have any space apart from that, right? So there's no more intimate place for God to go than to say, I'm now physically living inside of you. And so Mary in that moment has that choice, right? Someone has come into my personal space. How do I respond? Do I welcome and let? Or do I reject and push that back? And so her movement, her choice was to open herself up and say, I will let you come that close to me. Joseph goes through the same process, not quite as intimate at that level, but that same questioning of, God, are you really coming this deep into my life, this deep into everything that happens to me? How will I respond? Do I put the hand out? Do I push you away? Do I welcome you back in some kind of way? Right? The wise men have some of the same journey. They come along there. Are they going to be engaged with this little baby? Are they going to welcome him in? Are they going to push him away and say, oh, it's just a baby? It's some rundown little village. That must not really be God. We got it all messed up. Where do we go with our heart in that? Right? And then we have one more character in the story that we read for tonight, which is not at all the main character we think of. No one ever makes a nativity scene with this guy in it, which is pretty self-explanatory when we get to him. It's King Herod, right? So he's kind of got a big plan in the whole setting. But he's the one who addresses this whole situation of God getting close and says, no way. Right? And I know his end response is going to be way more extreme than any of the ones we would ever choose to go to. Right? I mean, going to murder to get someone to back off from you seems well more than anyone needs to do. But it's a sign of his heart. It's a sign of his power. But at the end of the day, the core issue for King Herod is, you are too close to me. Right? At my most intimate level is my place of kingship. And another king is getting too close into that. And I can't let you get that close to me. So I need to push as hard as I can to get you out and to get you away. And so in whatever way is possible for Herod, he says, I want to do everything I can to get you out, you know, way back beyond the public space, as far as I can away from you. And there is in this story then these options for us. Because we face today the same God that Mary and Joseph and Herod and the wise men faced, the same one that Melissa's small group faced, right? This God who says, I want to be very close to you. All right, that's what he chose in Christmas. And he doesn't change. If you're here tonight, if you're not here tonight, and you're somewhere else, doesn't matter. Right? He has the same agenda. He says, I don't need you to come and sing or not sing. That doesn't really matter to me. What I most want to do is to get very close to you. See, God isn't satisfied with being like, hey, could we be at a public space where I swing by every once in a while and you kind of wave and say hi and we don't really touch? Can we be at one of those personal levels? He's like, I just want to be at the deep level. And that's where I choose to be. And there's a stubbornness about this heart of God that pursues that. And so we have kind of the same arena of choices that Mary and Joseph and the wise men and Herod had of how we can respond to that. We can totally reject and say, I'll be at a public space, but I won't get any closer to you. I don't want you touching my life. I don't want you messing around in things. I don't want you getting close. I want to keep you as far away as I can. Right? We can have a limited thing where we say, okay, I'll let you into a few places in my life. I'll let you into a few corners, but I'm not going to let you come really, really close into that. I'm going to put a limit and a barrier. You don't get any closer than this. Or we can begin to, like Mary and Joseph, to say, I want to move to you. And I want to move into this place of being close to you. And I use the example of Herod because, and even the proxemics that we've worked on here, because I want you to understand there's legitimacy to all that. It's not this black and white dynamic that there's one right answer, and if you don't choose it, you're a bad person. The reality is that for all of us, learning to open up our lives to someone else is a process, right? I mean, we often go to counseling to find our way through a lot of the blocks and things on that way, right? We all understand if we had time to get into that, how challenging it is to really open up ourselves to another person, to family members, etc. And that isn't just a I either do it or don't kind of thing. It's a movement into those places of greater intimacy and one that God invites us to. So tonight, there's not a God who's saying you have a choice tonight to say yes or no to me, but a God who's coming to you tonight who says, I do want to be closer to you than I am right now. Will you let me move closer? Not do it all, not overthrow the whole apple cart, not dive deep into your heart in every possible way. Can I just move a step or two closer? All right, we'll invite the worship team to come forward right now. We're almost kind of tying up to our end. Because it really is about movement. We understand that in all of our own lives too, right? You can lean in a little bit more and make somebody take a step back. You can pull back a bit and make them move in too. So little movements count. So I just wonder for you what it would look like if you were to let Jesus come closer to you this week. You all know where he is right now, right? And it's different for all of us. It's okay, and it varies. We have days he's closer, days he's farther. You know where he is, whether he's as far away as you can possibly imagine, where you feel like he's pretty close. The question is just for you personally, what would it look like if just this week, for just 7 days, you let him take one more step closer? And it's a limited time, and I'm not asking you to risk your whole life on those things, but what would it look like if for 1 week you said, Jesus, you can take one step closer into my life. You can move a little closer to my hopes and my dreams and my fears and my doubts and whatever else you want to do. I'll let you take another step into that. And that's what I would invite you to think about for tonight. I'll ask you to pray with me for a moment too. Jesus, I find humanity absolutely fascinating. And I'm probably a little bit of a dork or a nerd because I like that whole idea of how far we are away from each other. But I know at the core of that, there is this unwritten code in all of our hearts about how we trust and let people in. And that's a good code, God. By any stretch, we all know that there are people that shouldn't be in an intimate space with us. There are people that shouldn't be at a personal space with us, that we need to put up boundaries to keep them away. The question is, are you one of those people? And God, again, that's a personal journey. I just pray that there's an openness for all of us tonight to think about that. I know there's so much going on in our minds. So much going on in this next week, God. It's easy just to take whatever this is and let it go, and there's presence and family and all that stuff, and just forget completely. So I pray, God, that maybe within a couple days when that passes on, that idea of proxemics and being close will just come back to our hearts and minds. And that you will nudge us to say, what would it look like if I opened up a little bit more, if I let you take one more step to me? God, I pray that we'd be willing to take that risk and just see what might happen in our lives when God comes close.